Good morning. Happy Christmas from our family to yours. Hope you've had a fantastic day already and hope that today is, even more special. Hope you have an amazing and wonderful Christmas and that 2020 is your best year yet. We've been doing a little series if you've been with us the last few weeks, and if you haven't, that doesn't matter. I just get a little recap now. In early December, we talked about the joy of God, and He loves giving presents, not just presents as in gifts, but He loves giving His presence to us. That's part of what we celebrate at Christmas, the presence of Jesus. Jesus is God's actual gift of His empowering presence. And we talk about grace here, and grace for us means God's empowering presence, that He gives us the gift of His presence. That's something that's not kind of out there and kind of a magical thing, but it's actually something that's tangible, that we can experience God's presence in a real and a tangible way. Not only that, but then we talked about God's gift of eternal presence, that presence is something that, for those that believe, have that presence, not just in this life, but we believe in the life to come, the resurrection of Jesus and the hope that brings. And today I want to finish that by just talking about God's hopeful presence, and that His presence brings hope, and that's certainly the theme already today. Christmas time's a time that has a lot of hope in it. It's many of the Christmas symbols, if you think about them, are all things about hope. The stars, the wise men looked for a star in the east. It was something about hope. There was hope in the lights when the angels came and the lights shone brightly on the shepherds. There was a sense of, wow, there's hope. And when you go out at Christmas night or Christmas Eve and see the lights in the streets, you hope you're going to see and hope to see some good displays. Presents are a gift of hope. I know that lots of children here today were hoping maybe last night that something special was going to happen overnight, and you're going to wake up this morning and there was lots of hope and anticipation of what was to come. I see the Epp family all decked out in there. Are they new Christmas shirts? Yes, very hopeful there. That's very good branding there, Scotty. My own daughter Melody was a little bit hopeless a couple of days ago when Malia left to go to Samoa for a month, and we bought Melody an Apple Watch, and so part of that was from Malia. It was a whole bunch of birthdays and things, presents wrapped up into one, and so we just wrapped it up one, and then underneath was wrapped again. So she took off the first wrapping and there was only part of the box that she could see. She thought that night she was going to get that box, but sadly we had to put it back under the tree, much to her dismay. And today she was hopeful she could unwrap the whole thing. And she was a winner. When we think about hope and Christmas, it's often a time of reflection, and it's a time that we can often come together and celebrate the bigger picture. I love the carols events at Christmas time. I love watching that. I love capturing the sense of the bigger picture that's being put out there. There's hope around families. There's hope around Christmas. There's hope around food. There's hope around festivities. And I want to suggest to you this morning that the original, the real, and the true meaning of Christmas is actually centered on the birth of Jesus Christ. There's a reason for lights. There's a reason for stars. There's a reason for all these things, and it's Jesus. He is the incarnated presence of the living God. He was actually a gift from God sent down to live among us. He was a gift given to bring hope to you and I and to this world. In Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 to 11, it says, "But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid.' He said, 'I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David.'" This is great news. In John 3 and chapter 7, in John 3 and verse 17, it says Jesus wasn't sent into the world to judge the world, despite what a lot of people think about Jesus and who He is and some of the things that are happening on our planet. He actually wasn't sent here to judge the world. It says in verse 17 of John 3 that He was sent here to actually save the world through Him. And in John 3, 16, the verse before, it says it was great news for all people because God loves all people everywhere, past, present, and future. And because His desire is this, that all should have eternal life, He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. And so with that in mind, I want to talk today about God's hopeful presence. God longs to fill us with His presence, and in so doing, He fills us with hope. I want to take us back to part of that Christmas story in in Luke chapter 2 and just read a few verses of that to you from Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20 just now. It says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased.' And when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story was astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them." So I just want to share three thoughts for experiencing God's hopeful presence from those verses this morning. And the first one is this. I want to encourage us on the verge of a new decade and a new year is to choose hope instead of fear. Choose hope instead of fear. In verses 9 to 10, it says, "Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people.'" You know, sometimes when the glory of the Lord shows up, it actually can be something that causes some people to be afraid. It comes in different ways. Sometimes when people get healed, I've prayed for people and have seen them healed and they've gone straight into fear because, oh, what's happened to me? The very thing that was causing them pain is now causing them fear because they've had a supernatural encounter with a living God and they don't know what to do with that. Some people are overcome with joy. And when they're overcome with joy, they laugh. They laugh even tears. They cry tears. And for some other people, that brings a sense of uncomfortableness. Oh, what's happening to you over there? You're having an experience that I don't quite understand. You're being encountered by something. It's living and I don't understand it. And I'm afraid of what's happening there because I think it's a little bit weird and it's not my experience. And so they kind of step back and, oh, they're a bit afraid of that. Some people, other things happen. There's power sensations. They can shake, they can laugh, they can cry. Sometimes when the glory of God shows up, it can cause people to go into fear. You see, we have all offered a choice to receive good news which brings joy or to focus on bad news and live in fear. Lots of news we see nightly on our TV screens or media outlets is hopeless news. It's news that's filled with no hope at all. It's just almost sensationalized fear. We live in fear. It's news without hope. We were down the coast this week just visiting my parents and getting a couple of days camping in at the same time. And as we were packing up, we had a news reporter there from Channel 9 come past and they were just about to make their way through the camping grounds and I could have been on the news. And they came over to me and said, "We're just doing an interview about people and their reactions to the fires." And she just made this, "You're going because of the fires, aren't you?" And I go, "No, actually, we're not. This was a day we planned to pack up and go." And she said, "Oh, we're just doing an interview about that." I said, "Look, to be honest, I said, these fires haven't really caused us any grief at all. Yes, they're close and they're over there. But I stopped short of saying to her, if you want me to sensationalize a story based around fear and grief to put on your news, you're not going to get it from me." But that's what they were looking for. And as soon as I said that, she's on the phone to him. "Oh, there's no, like, basically, there's no one here. There's no one here. What should we do now? Where should we go?" Just looking for something to stir about fear. Most news would tell us that things are getting worse rather than getting better. Social media often focuses on comparison or how we're doing compared to others. And we could either say we're doing better or we could be in fear and doing worse because we're not doing as well as some other people are. It's easy that if we spend too much time on those things, we'll end up spiraling down into hopelessness and despair. The difference this news has on us is whether we have hope or not. And hope comes from what actually we believe and what we think. Hope comes, it requires faith. Of Hebrews 11 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The angel came and said, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy, but Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. He's for us, Jesus. He's not against us. He comes to wants to give us life and life to the full. He's not out to destroy us. He's not out to make our life hard or to suffer. Although that's part of life, he actually wants to come and to bless us. And so the shepherds made a choice. They chose hope over fear, and they decided to go and see this baby Jesus. They could have stayed there and been terrified, but they didn't. They chose hope over fear. And then in verse 15 it says, When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Choose hope over fear. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is to look for signs of hope. They're all around us. Look for signs of hope. In verse 11 and 12, the Saviour, yes, Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David, the angel said. And the angel went on to say, you'll recognise him by this sign. There'll be a sign. Go look in Bethlehem and look for the sign. And you'll find him, a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. You'll recognise him by this sign. People often see what they're looking for. People don't often see something they're not looking for. If you are thinking of buying a car and you haven't seen that brand around before, and all of a sudden you are looking for a Kluger and you're just driving along and you go, oh, there's a Kluger, oh, there's a Kluger, oh, there's a Kluger, oh, there's a Kluger. And if you then think about, well, a white one, oh, there's a white one, there's a white one. I haven't seen any of those before. Oh, but they're all over the place now. Because before you weren't looking for them. But now when you're serious about thinking of buying a Kluger and you're looking for a white Kluger, they're everywhere because you're now looking for a sign. We do it in a whole lot of different areas. A man's look is completely different to a woman's look, but we still see things that we're looking for. And if we're not looking for them, we don't see them. It's as simple as that. If you're not looking for a sign of Jesus, you won't see a sign of Jesus normally. But if you're looking for something, you'll see something. There's evidence of the good news of Jesus which brings great joy all around if we dare to actually have a look. A couple of weeks ago, I was doing some pre-marriage counselling with a couple. One of the ladies was a Hindu lady. The lady. The fiancée of the man was Hindu. And she had tripped the day before, and she was in a lot of pain. She could hardly walk up the little stairs we had out here. And at the end of the session, I just took a bit of a risk and said to her, would you mind if I prayed for your knee? Because I believe in a God whose presence is tangible, and I've seen knees healed. She said, that's fine. She gave me permission to do that. I said, would you mind if I put a hand on your knee? She said, that's fine as well. So I placed a hand on her knee. I bent down. Jess was with me as well. We prayed for her. I said, how is that? She said, oh, my knee felt hot after you put my hand on. That's the power of God. I said, can you just test out your knee? She got up and she walked around. She said, it's almost good. It's about 80%, I think, she said. I said, well, let's pray again for that because we believe that God can completely heal. So we prayed again. By the time she left, 10 minutes later, she was pretty much 99% healed of her knee. I saw her a few days later and I said, how's her knee? She said, it's fine. It's been fine ever since. That's the power of God if you're looking for a sign. This week, I was chatting to Tony, who's the manager of a cafe down here, Cosinero. It's our local coffee haunt, and he was coming to our church picnic just a couple of days ago. But he texted me on the weekend and just said, I can't come this week on Sunday. He said, one of my wife's best friend's four-year-old boy was drowned in a pool and is in ICU. And we need to be there. I said, understand. I will pray. What's his name? He said, his name is Haru. I said, okay, I'll pray for Haru. He's Korean. And we prayed and I kept texting him, how's he going? How's he going? Not good, not good. And just kept praying and just declaring life over this little boy. And the other day I texted him, how's he doing? He's good. They're waking him up this morning. He said, we will know when we wake him up. And so that they brought him out of a coma. He texted me later and said, he's good. We've asked him questions, he said, in Korean, in Japanese and English, because he speaks all three languages, he's only four, and he answered every question, and he looks really, really good. So from drowning to releasing life. A few years ago, yeah, thank you. For looking for the sign of Jesus, we'll see it. A few years ago, I was on a men's retreat in Cape Town in a place called Bonte Bock Reserve in the outskirts of Cape Town. And I'd met a man there that I'd met before. It wasn't the first time I'd been on this retreat. And and he and his wife had been trying to have kids for a long time. And so I just had a real sense. I don't normally pray dates and babies and marriages because they're risky stuff. I will prophesy them quietly and pray quietly, but I don't normally take a risk and say, I think you're going to have a baby, or I think you're going to get married, or stuff like that. But on this occasion, I felt the Spirit of God just prompt me to say, hey, I think God's going to give you a baby. And I just prayed for him. And a few months later, he said to me, he texted me, he said, hey, Rob, we're pregnant, and we have a little baby. So I want to show you, this is Sarah, just a couple of days ago, 7 months old Sarah is a gift from God, because we looked for a sign and the presence of God came, and the presence of God just powerfully blessed that family. And after years of just trying to have a baby supernaturally, God just infused something in his wife and they had a baby. You know, Hebrews 12:2a says, we do this, we keep having hope. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We keep looking to him, for him. He will be seen, he will be found, even though sometimes our circumstances may seem hopeless or may seem like there's not much hope around. In verses 16 to 17 of the passage I read to you earlier, the shepherds went looking. They went to see. It says, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. They found the hope that they were actually looking for. Now, the last thing I want to share with us this morning is that hope will be found in the witness of others. In verse 13 and 14, it says, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. There was an angelic witness to this hope. And I've wondered whether you've actually thought much about the angelic witness, or whether there's an angelic witness around, or, you know, around us in these days. I believe that there is. Again, if we look for a sign, we will see the presence of angels. For a while, a few years ago, I went a couple of places, and I remember being at Bethel Church in Redding, California, and I would feel dizzy every now and again. And I kept wondering what was happening. I was thinking there's something wrong with my health. And every now and again, I would just feel this, just kind of feel like faint. And at one of the services, I went down after the service and to get some prayer. And this girl, who's a friend of mine, just gave me a prophetic word. And she spoke over my life. She says, I see angels all around you. She said, I see them like brushing past you, and it's like they go past you and you kind of feel a bit faint and you feel like knocked off your feet. It's like, oh, wow. All those things have been angelic encounters where the host of angels has been present. There was an angelic witness to this hope, and there's a witness of others as well. And in verse 17 to 18, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to him about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. The shepherds bore witness to that had happened, when what the angel had said to them about the child. They shared it with others, and as they shared it with others, the witness grew. I've shared a few testimonies of what some of my experiences are this morning. You, if you're a believer, I'm sure you'll have experiences and testimonies as well, that as you witness and share that with others, they will become also a witness, or also aware of the presence of God. And as the shepherds told everyone about what had happened, all the people, it says, who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Don't be fooled that your story is not astonishing. Don't be fooled that the presence, the witness of the true and living God in your life, if you're a believer, is not astonishing. And if you know someone, if you're not a believer and you know someone that does have a story, then ask them about their story and look for the sign of the presence of Jesus and be amazed and be astonished. Because as people joined in, as people became part of the first Christmas story, people believed and other people received the good news of great joy for all people. It's only great news of great joy for all people as people share the joy they have with others and share their joy with others and share their joy with others, and soon it becomes great news for all joy with all people. It's easy, if I go back to my first point, when we talk about fear, to be the first thing on our lips. Gosh, this fire, these fires are bad, aren't they? Gosh, this rain is bad, or this lack of rain is bad, isn't it? And we just keep going. We just keep speaking despair. We just keep speaking fear, rather than speaking about a God who can provide rain, or rather a God that can overcome all things. And even in the midst of fire or despair, there's still hope in a living God for eternity. If we can just see the bigger picture of that, if we can just catch that. So can I encourage you to choose hope this Christmas instead of fear? Change the way you think. Look for a sign. The good news of great joy of Jesus is everywhere to see. The hope of Jesus will be found in the witness of others. It's there for us to see. Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. If you're looking for something to anchor your soul in, if your soul is lost and confused and lost its way, then can I encourage you to find hope in Jesus? Because it'll anchor your soul and give you strength. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 40:31 said, "But those who hope in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Those who hope in the Lord will find new strength. I'd like to finish today by just reiterating the prayer that Marguerite read earlier and that verse, and just encourage us that we might stand together. Us encourage you, like one of the things we love to do at Christmas is to receive gifts, to give gifts and to receive gifts. I think sometimes I love giving gifts more than I like receiving gifts. And so maybe you might just want to put your hands in a position where you're just going to receive something as I read this prayer this morning. Dare to believe, to choose hope instead of fear. And just right now, whatever may be overwhelming you or struggling, you don't, whatever the Christmas turkey or whatever it is, or even the something that's happening in families, because this time of year is also a hard time for families sometimes. It's one of those things that kind of underlines where there's dysfunction and other stuff. So choose hope instead of fear right now. Just let fear go from your hands and just receive hope. Look for the sign of Jesus just present right now. He's here right now amongst us. He's not just a baby in a manger. He's grown up. He's died. He's been resurrected. He has new life, and he's tangibly able to be experienced by one and all. He brings great news of great joy ready to deposit in your hands right now. He's releasing that right now. And as we stand together in a witness in a community of believers, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you right now completely, not just half measure, not just 5%, but completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. I pray that you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that whatever comes against you will not overpower you, because the confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit will overwhelm whatever that is, and you will see Jesus and you will hope in him. Your strength will be renewed like that of the eagles. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not be faint. Father, may that be our prayer. May that be our case this Christmas. Father, may we take that through this day, in this season, and into the new decade and new year, that, Father, we'll walk strong with you. We'll put our hope in you. We'll explore what it means to have hope in you, and we'll find the tangible presence of you, Jesus, to comfort us, to strengthen us, and to, Father, give us hope through all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.